right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I am your host, Asher Brooks, and this is Horrible History, the podcast that changed its name because I can do whatever I want. Featured today, we have a wonderful guest, Mikkel Phillips. Please introduce yourself, Mikkel.
I'm Mikkel Phillips. I work in cars, and I do a lot of car stuff.
Fantastic. I actually know Mikkel really well. He's the guy who helped me figure out whether or not the RV I bought was going to fall apart. And it did not fall apart. I ripped it apart.
Right, right.
I'm a big special boy.
You burned most of it.
I did burn most of it, yes. I pulled all the wood out. We burned it. The other laughter you can hear is another special guest, Raffy Phillips, who's been featured on a number of shows. A wonderful Fortnite player. Didn't you say you got 2 wins recently?
Yes.
When I first introduced Raffy, one of the very first episodes, I introduced him as somebody with over 100 confirmed wins. Happy to rack that number up to over 102 confirmed wins on Fortnite.
He got 2 wins in 1 game. What can we say? He's cracked. He's cracked.
Hey, here's a very important question, Mikkel. How many wins have you got in Fortnite?
Not nearly that many.
I have 0 wins in Fortnite because I am 26. And you have to be younger than that to be good at Fortnite, apparently, because I tried it a couple times and I'm real bad. I don't understand the building mechanic, and the guns all seem to shoot just little tiny airsoft pellets. Like, none of the guns feel like real guns.
Yeah, they don't deal any damage.
I don't get it. Well, now that we've talked about video games for far too long, let's get to the history section of this podcast. So today we are featuring 2 great stories. We're talking about the 1875 Dublin Whiskey Fire. And then, Mikkel, what exactly is it that you brought for us today?
I'm dealing with casualties of car manufacturers.
Casualties of car manufacturers.
And manufacturing and engineer oversights.
Okay. Sounds like something that's going to make me nervous to drive my car back home today.
What car did you drive?
I drove a Toyota. Okay, that was not the answer I wanted. I drive a 2013 red Corolla.
Oh, that's fine.
It's fine because there's 2 different lights on. That's fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good. All right. So,
It won't catch on fire.
It won't catch on fire. Are the cars that we're going to talk about today just randomly catch on fire?
No.
No? Okay, good. All right.
Is it worse?
Question. Are car accidents random?
Okay. All right. Fantastic. This is going to be a spicy episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to roll off to see who goes first. So I will go on. I will go above 10 and you'll go below 10.
Okay.
Sound like a plan? So roll right here. That is a 17. That means I go first, which means it's time to set the stage. All right, boys. It's 1875. You're both Irish. You live in Dublin. In fact, you live in the Libertines district of Dublin, and all around you are massive breweries. On one corner, you've got Jameson. On one corner, you've got Guinness. Other local whiskey producers like Rose and Greenbrier, places that don't exist anymore, but some big names as well. And once all their whiskey, once all their spirits and stuff are made, they go to a warehouse. In particular, they go to this warehouse. Now, this warehouse is checked at 4 o'clock in the morning by a night watchman. Everything's fine. At 8:45, almost the entire district is on fire. Something has gone wrong. So you two are walking along the street here. There's a bar on every corner. You guys hear the noises of pigs and animals living in pens and backyards and apartments. So there's a lot of poor people who live in these neighborhoods, and they usually keep animals on the bottom floor. It's 1875, you know what I mean? It's very common to keep domesticated animals like that. Life is good for you, but congratulations, because you're about to be part of history. So, a little over 315,000 gallons of whiskey has just caught fire in the warehouse at the end of the street. You don't know that yet, about to. You see, as the fire grows hotter and hotter, the barrels have begun to explode. They've begun to expand as the heat rackets them up from the inside, and as they explode, more whiskey catches on fire, splashes onto other barrels. Those barrels get hotter and explode and explode, and soon 315,000 gallons of whiskey is now spewing out of this warehouse like a burning river of lava, flowing through the streets of the Libertine District. And who are the first to notice this? Well, it's people like you all who hear the strange noise of frantic oinking as You see, rounding the corner in front of you, a herd, a drove, because I Googled what a group of pigs is called. It's called a drove.
Wow.
A drove of pigs runs around the corner and charges at you. You think, oh God, what's chasing these pigs? Is it man? Is it beast? Is it wolf? No, it's a river of Jameson flowing down the street, lit on fire. It looks like lava flowing down the streets. And you see these pigs are running. They're leaving little fiery hoof prints because they were caught in the whiskey fire and now they're covered in burning whiskey. They are scream oinking through the streets.
Please don't tell me the pigs explode now.
The pigs explode. They're also full of whiskey. Also full of whiskey. No, so a burning river is running down the street. So welcome to the 1875 Dublin Whiskey Fire. So you see a burning river of whiskey coming at you. What are you boys, what are you guys planning on doing?
I get my cup.
You get your cup?
Sure.
Mikkel, I have such bad
news. He's so dead.
I have such bad news. You are so historically accurate right now.
I had no doubt.
No doubt. Absolutely.
I was confident in my answer.
So what about you, Raffy?
I grab my boot.
You grab your boot?
You're doing shooies to the grave?
I want you to know, I didn't... So, dear listeners, I didn't preface this. I didn't tell them. I'm looking at the computer. I don't know why I'm doing that. Dear listeners, I want you to know, I didn't tell them anything about that. You two are exactly what happened. I grab my cup. I grab my boot. You are so right. Okay, we'll talk about what happened to the people. We'll talk about what happened to you two specifically in a little bit. But let me kind of walk it back historically. So yes, this is the Whiskey Fire of 1875 in Dublin, and there is a burning river of whiskey flowing through the streets of Dublin. So this is the Libertine District. The pigs are the first to notice, because as the whiskey flows down the streets, it seeps into everything, right? It seeps under doors, mm-hmm. and everything it touches catches on fire. Everything. It soaks into wood and then just burns straight up. So the pigs are the first to notice. They start oinking and freaking out. They burst out of their pens. A lot of them die. But, like, one of the things that is well noticed about this is that nobody died from fire. Because the pigs squeaked and oinked so loudly that everyone, like, peeked their head out their windows, saw a stampede of pigs running from these flames, and were like, we gotta go. So everybody's running, and the Dublin Fire Brigade arrives. They hear that this whiskey fire is spreading throughout Dublin, and they arrive, and they're like, all right, guys, it's time to stop this fire. They start throwing buckets of water at it. Now, here's what you don't do to a liquid fire, guys. You don't put water on it.
Mm-hmm.
As they splash the water onto it, the water splashes into the whiskey, which acts just like oil, sprays across the other buildings in the area. The water sits on the bottom, and because whiskey is lighter than water, floats to the top and just re-catches back on fire. And so the whiskey, like the fire brigade, is now freaking out because they had one move, and that move was water.
We can put water on it.
More buildings are burning. Everything's going on. And so it's time to introduce kind of the hero of our story, the captain of the fire brigade, a man named Joseph Dalton. Now, Joseph Dalton is well known for his unorthodox methods of stopping fires. So, he was once on the Boston Fire Brigade. A ship caught fire in the Boston Harbor, and everyone was like, how are we going to put this fire out? And he's like, I know what I'm going to do. Sink it.
Sink the ship.
He ordered a gunboat to come and shoot the ship until it sank. Now, that did technically put out the fire. But, some would say, a sunk ship, just as bad as a burned one. But he is our hero, and he comes onto the scene. So his first...
Wait, so he was in Boston, and now he's in Dublin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, shooting a ship doesn't get you a promotion. The Boston police force weren't like, oh, great, cool. You shot the ship.
Cool.
Excellent.
Oh, the fire's done.
I killed the fire.
I killed the fire.
Why are you mad?
I double tapped it, it's dead.
Why are you mad?
So he arrives on the scene, and his first order is, let me go get me some soldiers. So they go and they fetch soldiers, and he orders them to start digging up the streets, right? Because at this point, the fire is flowing out of this warehouse, right? And it's just soaking out. So imagine, like, a fire hydrant has burst,
mm-hmm.
and so it's like that those rivers kind of that happens when a fire thing bursts. It's about 6 inches deep, this whiskey fire is, right? And it can't be put out. Anybody who tries to touch it gets caught on fire. Anybody who tries to dump water on it spreads the fire everywhere else. He's like, okay, so we can't really put it out. Here's what we got to do. We got to redirect it. So he orders the men to start digging the streets up. So they dig up the paving stones. They start building dams with sand and gravel. But whiskey is made of water, and it just seeps straight through and keeps burning things. And he's like, crap, crap, crap. Oh, wait. Crap. He orders all the men to go to the horse manure depots. You see, all around... Mm-hmm, go for it.
But the, we use fertilizer to make explosives.
Well, fertilizer is explosive, absolutely, when combined with the right things. But fertilizer burns when it's... Excuse me, manure burns when it's dry. But the good thing is, it's 1875. Most people travel by horse and by cart and by buggy, and so there are these big depots full of steaming, hot, damp manure, horse crap, right? And so he goes and he orders all these soldiers to bring as many wheelbarrows, as many cartfuls as they can, bring it with their hands if they have to, and he orders them to build literal crap dams, a poo-poo palisade, if you will, in the streets to try and redirect the flow of this whiskey as it moves through the streets of Dublin.
Where were they trying to redirect it?
They were trying to push it towards the river because they were like, well, once it hits the river, surely that amount of water will do it.
No, don't light the river in fire.
Don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me.
Them, oh, it floats on the water. Let's put it near our base.
So... go get as much horse manure as they can. And so they build a series of dung dams all along the road to build, like, to redirect this whiskey. So they save a convent from burning down. Like, there's all these nuns, like, standing in the, like, you know, the archway of the convent going, oh no, the fire, it's coming. Enter the heroic soldier's hands covered in horse crap. We'll save you. It's like they're playing with Play-Doh. Ugh. But it works because the manure is still wet. The whiskey can't soak into it. And so it works. They use it and they basically redirect the flow down towards the river. It hits the river, hits the top of the river, keeps burning. But as it goes into the river whisks it along and moves quickly enough that it, like, dissipates. So the river's on fire, for sure, but it's not really spreading. It's just kind of being pushed into the river here. So, yes, the river did catch on fire. Did not catch anything else on fire, which is good.
Okay.
People see all this whiskey flowing past their house, full on fire, being redirected by horse crud. And let's go back to you two. Right? Because you're strong Irishman, good, solid Irish stock. You see a bunch of whiskey that's about to go to waste.
That's on fire.
That's on fire. Oh. So you pull out your cups and your hats and your boots and your shoes, and they start drinking it. Now, I remind you, this whiskey is both on fire and in direct contact with horse manure.
Yeah.
And they're like, can't let that go to waste. So, I have a quote here from the Illustrated London Times. So, here we go. Two corn porters, known as Healy and McNulty, were found lying insensible in a lane off Cork Street with their boots off. They had evidently used it to collect the liquor and drunk themselves senseless. Because you imagine, like, you walk up on a scene, there is a river of fire flowing 2 feet from two absolutely stone-cold drunk men who are passed out on the side with no shoes on.
Why is the no shoes on the weirdest part of that?
I don't know why. Well, you know, you see, well, keep in mind that right just a few feet down the street, there's a horse crap dam that's being used to redirect this river of fire. Down towards where you can see there are hundreds of people who are gathering along the streets now. Because now this fire has kind of been contained. It's flowing like water.
Yeah.
So the buildings that are burning, and there are dozens of buildings on fire, to be clear. But the buildings that are burning are already going to burn down. So everyone's like, might as well go watch the fire river. You know, that's a cool thing.
That's new. That's cool.
Hundreds and hundreds of people are taking their caps off and, like, dipping it into the fire and drinking. So here's the thing. Here's the real danger here, right? No one has yet died. The fire came and went. It's still on fire, but it's being handled. No one has died yet, right? See, the great tragedy is in the great whiskey fire of 1875, no one died from burns. Or smoke inhalation.
Or drowning.
Or even drowning. 13 people died of alcohol poisoning. 13 people drank themselves to death. Now, I do want to say...
From road liquor.
From road liquor. I do want to say it's not really their fault, right? Because this story obviously has this tinge of, like, yeah. Yeah, Irish are drinking bastards, all that fun stuff. So the reason this warehouse had so much whiskey in it is because it wasn't, a production facility. It was an aging facility. So all this whiskey had been sitting there, and it was just supposed to age for years and years or months and months until it could be cut with water and then sold. Right? We don't drink whiskey that's being aged like that. If you buy whiskey at the store, you're getting 40% alcohol. This is 100% alcohol whiskey. Right? Which is why it burns so... It's basically lighter fluid. It just has the word whiskey stamped on the barrel for right now. So everybody's drinking this thinking it's like 40 proof whiskey. Yeah. They're drinking like 2 or 3 shots. If you drink 2 or 3 shots of 100% pure alcohol, you will pass out. You will probably go into a coma. Over 100 people were admitted to hospitals in comas. Most of them suffered brain damage. A bunch of them went blind, right?
It's like a moonshine river,
isn't it? It's a river of moonshine, right? It's a river. It's complete pure alcohol. It's like ethanol coming down. So 13 people die of alcohol poisoning. Hundreds more get alcohol poisoning, blindness from the spirits. So it's one of the worst tragedies. Because truly, these people didn't know. Like, it's reported that many people drank a quite moderate amount of the alcohol and still were hospitalized, right? And then 1 or 2 people are drinking, like, just a little bit and full passing out. Just because it's so powerful and so strong. And so it sucks so bad. There's only a couple of good things that came out of this. So, kind of the first good thing that comes out of this is, you know, next morning, smoke is rising over Dublin. And all the whiskey distillers are like... This is a little teensy-weensy bit our fault. And they decide that they are going to train and pay their own firefighters. So basically, the distillery district gets its own firefighting force, which eventually becomes the Libertines Fire Department.
They don't become the manure brigade?
They become the manure brigade. Well, see, at this time, the Dublin Fire Brigade was kind of an unofficial thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a temporary HQ, but it's 1875. Like, firefighters don't really exist. I mean, most firefighters, obviously fires happen, but kind of everyone who's there just kind of shows up and uses a bucket of water and, you know, you put the fire out or you don't. This is what happens. There were no firefighting teams. So this fire brigade was a pretty recent thing. This solidified them in the eyes of the public in Dublin who were like, nope, I'm cool paying my tax dollars to, like, keep these guys... solidified. The Dublin Fire Brigade eventually goes along to become the Dublin Fire Department, and then oversees the entire city. Another kind of fun fact is this whiskey fire is still remembered quite fondly today. In 2014, a new whiskey was produced. It is called Flaming Pig, in honor of the pigs who, while many of them did die, the pigs were actually known as the true heroes. Poor Joseph Dalton. The pigs were known as the true heroes of this story because they saved all the lives. Because these stampedes of pigs that ran through the streets woke everybody up. And so everyone got out safely. So Flaming Pig whiskey is now something that you can buy. I looked into it just a little bit just to see if, like, it looked like it was okay. The way they make the whiskey is they char the absolute crap out of the barrel so the whiskey tastes like smoke. Which I think is a little bit sad.
Do they throw some bacon in there at least?
It would be fun if they did, but if you put meat in alcohol, it's gross. Let me tell you, it's real gross. I have never once ate any meat that had alcohol in it that I was like, delicious. Mm,
this is great.
I think beer can chicken tastes nasty.
What?
Never heard of beer can chicken?
No.
Beer can chicken, so you know how the chicken, we cooked together a little while back, because they're not just special guests, ladies and gentlemen. These are also my friends. But I was over at their house the other day and I made chicken. We put a lemon inside, right?
Right.
So you can make beer can chicken. So what you do is you put the chicken in the cavity. You put the beer can
in the cavity. Oh, so it's like beer brats.
Yeah, you put the beer in the cavity and then you cook the chicken, like, standing up on top of the beer can.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beer kind of boils away inside and, like, spices the whole thing with beer flavor.
Okay.
Which is super gross to me because I don't like beer. I don't drink it, but I never liked it.
So, are you putting an actual can of beer into the chicken?
Yes, yes.
Right, just like cavity. Pouring it in?
No, right into the cavity, the whole can.
Mm-hmm. Open. Well, it's an open can.
Yeah, the whole can. Yeah, the open can. And the whole can, like, it heats up. So it actually kind of sears the inside of the chicken a little bit. But the thing is, like, the inside is always a little bit undercooked because, like, you're boiling beer inside. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of aromatic. It's, like, fragrancing the chicken. I think it's dumb. Yeah. I think it's dumb. I think if you want your chicken to taste like beer, you should just, you know.
Drink a beer. And eat chicken.
I don't want my chicken to taste like beer. But that is the 1875 Dublin Whiskey Fire, which I think is a cool story. It's kind of sad that 13 people died of alcohol poisoning, but also, any fire that no one dies of burns is great. I'm very proud of that. So, I think it's time for you, Mikkel. You ready?
Yep.
What you got for me?
All right. I have a couple situations that happened. So, the first one we're going to talk about is the Bronco 2.
The Bronco 2?
Also known as the Bucking Bronco.
The Bucking Bronco?
Yes. Because they had a tendency...
Mm-hmm.
From just the name alone, I'm not imagining this car was great for, I don't know, children or...
It's not a family. It was directed towards single men, couples, or adventuring people. Because it's a three-door SUV. It was Ford's...
Three-door?
Yes. There's a driver's door, passenger door, and then like a back tailgate thing.
It's a called... back tailgate door?
Yeah.
So like...
It's like a Blazer.
Look, my man, I don't know anything about cars. I know a lot about whiskey fires.
Okay, so the Bronco 2 was introduced as... There was the original Bronco. Mm-hmm. This was the second rendition of it, and it's like an SUV made to compete with a Chevy S10, which is like a light pickup truck. The Blazer, which is like an SUV. It's like a small Tahoe. And Jeeps. So it was directed as like an off-roading, sand dune blasting, capable vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a foot shorter than like an S10. So it was a really short, stubby, tall vehicle.
Oh, and that's a great combination.
What you're describing to me is a box.
it's very similar to a box.
It's a box.
And during the engineering phase and like the producing phase, they're like, we're gonna make this car. They realized that during their testings of like safety maneuvers, so like if you're going and it's like you just wham on the wheel, it would go poof and it would flip over. And they're like, okay, well, we just won't, like, crank on the wheel that hard. And we'll go, like, 20 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And then we'll crank on the wheel and try to make a tight turn. And it just tumbles over. It reportedly would tumble at any speeds greater than 20 miles an hour if you made any forms of aggressive or emergency maneuvers.
Emergency maneuvers. You know, they sell those in stores around Christmas. The little cars that just flip every few times. I'm just imagining.
That's just Bronco 2 back stock.
Just Bronco 2 back stock. They sell them for Christmas.
It's comparable engineering.
RC Bronco 2. Look, Mom, it rolls.
No, but.
I can hear the little.
The car went into production in March of.
It went into production?
They said.
It was released in March of 1983. They knew about the problem in 1981 where they were doing testing. And then they changed the testing so that it could be released. So like they're like, oh, it fails the testing here. We're like, we'll just change it. So we'll do the test at 18 miles an hour
Having an IQ test, but if you got below a 75, you just made the limit 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a kid who answers C on their Scantron, every answer C, and the teacher goes, well, it looks like all the answers were C today. I'm just changing all the answers to BC.
Yep. So, and then it was discontinued in 1990 to make room for the Explorer or the Escape or whatever they were.
Oh, it was released in what year? 1866?
1986? 1983, it was released. In 1990, it was discontinued.
So it was in production and being sold. Like there was
For
there
7 years.
There was a guy in a suit and a way too big tie with a toupee on who was like, let me show you the Bucking Bronco.
Special feature. You're a young couple.
Rolls on a dime. I've been selling these baby for 6 years. You can fit so much trauma in these.
Over those years, there were about 260 deaths and an unknown amount of...
maimings.
Of injuries. Because Ford never officially made a statement claiming this car is dangerous. You should not drive it. Their statement to why they discontinued it and why the tipovers were happening because of unreasonable driving and vehicle modifications and like non-warranty vehicle modifications.
What counts as a vehicle modification?
Putting like big tires on it or... Because they offered it as like an off-road vehicle. So people are like, I'm going to do this off-road. Oh. But you know when you're rock climbing, you don't want your car to fall over?
You know, I'm just imagining this like on I-75, just kind of driving. But they literally marketed this to people who were like...
Oh, do you know what O.J. Simpson drove?
Well, wait. Is this the car that O.J. drove?
Yeah, he drove a Bronco.
Can you imagine that terrible
No, car? He was going 25, though. Highways are really straight, so
he rolls over and over, and that's the thing that comes out of the OJ trial. Not that he did it or didn't do it. It's just like turns out the Bronco's a terrible car.
Oh, that is so bad, though.
Yeah.
That is
so bad.
But it was built on the Ford Ranger body. Where they had to chop off the back because it's such a short, stubby vehicle.
Like, nobody looks at a car and says, I want this to be shorter. You know, we like long cars. That's why limousines exist. Mm-hmm. We want the longest car possible.
It cost them, for the 355 lawsuits they had...
Mm-hmm.
They paid over $15.5 million in retribution.
Nowhere near enough.
Well, no.
$15.5
million.
That's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Oh, I will say, a fact I forgot earlier, the Doubly Whiskey Fire, it was over $5.1 million worth of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no way.
$5.1 million. Anyway, I adjusted for inflation. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But so... Yeah, they discontinued the Bronco, and then they brought it back. And now the new Broncos...
They brought it back?
The new Broncos have a lot of engine problems.
Well, do they at least not flip over?
I mean, no. They don't flip over.
Okay.
Their engines blow up. with less than 5,000 miles, the engines will nuke themselves.
They will just explode. What's wrong? Why are they doing that?
Some of the engine castings where like the oil runs through the engine.
Yeah.
There's metal there, mm-hmm. from like a bad casting master. Oh. So where oil should be like point A, point B.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of that, there's metal, so it can't flow.
So there's just a thing that needs oil that just doesn't get oil, right. And a thing that pumps oil that is just constantly under a lot of pressure because the oil it pumps doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
That car is just cursed. They should never...
No, the original Broncos were okay.
The original Broncos were okay. Okay, so, just... All right, I'm going to need you to say the exact vehicle spec. If you drive... Listeners, if you drive a what?
1983 through 1990... Well, 1984, because there's no 83 year, but...
So, 1984 through 1990 Broncos, sell it... No, excuse me. For the safety of everyone, burn it. And what else? What are the ones that explode?
New ones.
New Broncos just exploded.
2020 through now.
Okay, if you have a Bronco, get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Broncos are bad. Okay, you don't have Corollas on that list, do you?
No.
No. Okay, how about trolleys?
No.
No, good? All right, fantastic.
No. So, our next car...
Our next car, which
is also Ford, and we're going to blaze through this one because everyone knows about the Ford Pinto.
The Ford Pinto. Yes, the only car to be named after a bean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it was shaped like a bean.
Was it really?
They're very small cars. And with that, they're like, okay, where's the gas tank going to go? It's going to go in the very rear bottom of the vehicle.
Where people get hit?
And then the neck, then like the gas neck,
mm-hmm.
it's just back there. Problem was, when it gets hit in a rear-end collision,
mm-hmm.
The fill neck will snap,
yeah,
which will allow fuel into the cabin.
The best place for gas to be.
And then with the neck, then with all that metal versus metal, it'll spark and ignite it.
So we're, anyone who drives a Ford Pinto is driving just a gas fire waiting to
Here's
happen.
Here's the best thing.
the best part.
They, only 27 people died.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But because it's only rear end collisions, so that's only if like you slam your brakes and someone slams into the back of you. But then also, it was maybe kind of overrepresented on how bad it actually was, because the risk of a rear end collision is low, and then the risk of the necks actually breaking is low, and then it igniting the fuel is low. There was a documentary made where it showed it was actually difficult. They hit this Pinto a bunch, and it didn't actually ignite, and then they just ignited it anyways, just because they needed it to oh, sell yeah. their
they
claim.
Gotta, they gotta do the Mythbusters thing.
But also, like, the engineering department is like, we could fix this. It would push it back a couple months, and it would add $11 to the overall price of the car. And Ford executives said, no, we need to launch the car.
Just so you know, listeners, if you're making anything and it has a chance of exploding, or you can pay $11 more, I will pay that surcharge. I will pay $11 more, mm-hmm. absolutely, to not have a risk of exploding.
Yeah.
So, wait, so they did they issue a recall for it, or they were just like, nope, go be free, those my little Pinto?
Because the media coverage was so large and so much backlash, they mm-hmm. did issue a recall on all the vehicles.
Okay. So, if you own a Pinto, you should
Nobody
take,
owns a Pinto.
Nobody owns a Pinto?
No.
Oh, okay. I know very little about nobody, cars. Thank
it was like,
you for educating
it was like
me.
1970s.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and then they had the Bronco problem.
Yeah. But then
the Bronco problem, they were like, all right, now we've got all the gas explosion cars back. Let's move on to something that rolls.
Clearly that one was not good enough.
The Pinto's whatever. Everyone knows about the Pinto.
I wonder if Ford's just like, I wonder how many people we can kill by accident. Like, there's like a secret room in the Ford headquarters somewhere. There's just a big bunch of tally marks.
Yeah, it's called
on
the
wall.
Lawyers, and they're like, I'm like, man, they could have gotten so much more money off of
it. Oh, honestly, what if we made this little part so that it would disconnect and then the car would be in two pieces?
That is the really messed up thing, though. It's like so many companies have like risk management like sections. Like, there's a whole department. It's just like, if we make a mistake, how much damage
this is our
does it
budget.
Have to do?
This is our budget to this is our, pay off people.
This is our budget for like paying for lawyers and paying off, you know, funds for whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, how much damage do we have to do before we have to make a recall? It's like, isn't that crazy? Like, someone's job. To be like, well, if we do $12.3
yeah, it's a damage assessment job. Well, it's more about like warranties. That's mm-hmm. a big warranty thing. Is, it's like, oh, it costs us this much money to make everyone come in and install this new airbag, mm-hmm. but to recall all those vehicles
is going to cost us this much.
Is infinitely more. It's unattainably more. Mm-hmm. So warranties a lot better program now. But what the next thing we're going to get into mm-hmm. that had 6.68 million cars recalled.
Okay, I'm just really glad you didn't say people dead.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That would be crazy.
No. I nobody died. With the research I did, nobody died due to this.
Good.
There were 87 injuries.
Bad.
Serious injuries and several hundred external damages to... Chevy engine mounts from 1971. Mm-hmm. They had the chance to fail on either side of the engine, but if the mount failed on the left side of the engine, mm-hmm. that's what held up the whole side. So when it failed, it would pivot and fall. And when that happened, there's a cable that's attached to the engine for your throttle. When it falls, it would pull on that. And it would increase throttle.
Oh, that is...
So the thing holding your engine breaks, the engine twists, and as it does, it accelerates as fast
as
it can.
So here, let me... I'll set the scene.
Please, please.
So you're driving your nice Chevy.
I'm driving my nice Chevy. I'm so proud of it.
You're so proud. And then all of a sudden you hear a... And then you see this big dent come up in your hood. And you go, huh, that's weird. And then your engine starts... And you start accelerating and you're looking at your gas pedal and it's pulled like pretty much all the way to your floor and you're like, oh, I should hit the brake. And you hit the brake and the brakes don't do anything because brake boosters use vacuum pressure. Mm-hmm. But when the engine falls, the vacuum tube is so short that when it falls, it pops it off. So now you... So now you're pressing on the brakes and the brakes aren't doing anything and you're just accelerating.
That is the scariest thing I can imagine.
It's just like you see your engine. Something's clearly wrong. Your engine tries to rip itself free from the car. You start going as fast as possible. You gotta think your car is possessed. You're just like, oh god, it's trying to kill me. Mm-hmm. I should have gotten the extended warranty.
The reason for this was because the motor mounts they were using were from 1953.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And they were using them on cars 20 years newer. So so they're just heavier, and it's...
The engines are heavier, and the mounts are, you know, 20 years old.
Well, no, it was the same, like, mount design and stuff.
Oh, same mount design. Oh, they had updated it, and so the engines are just heavier than that.
Mm-hmm.
God, so nobody died?
No.
But let me tell you, I bet a couple of crashes dummies got obliterated.
My automotive instructor,
yeah,
he helped do the recalls on these vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and the way... That's how I know about this, because Chevy did a pretty good job of covering this all up.
Clearly not well enough, thanks to the investigative reporting right here at Astro.
So how would you imagine they would fix this problem of the engine breaking itself free?
I imagine they would, you know, replace the mounts that were faulty. Or, like, replace the mounts.
Raffi, what do you think they would do?
I think they would...
Don't look at my paper.
Put the engine into the Bronco design. So it's like when the engine twists, right? As a safety maneuver, you can roll over the car, and then
you're not moving anymore.
Exactly. Yeah,
the wheels just spin.
Right.
You don't go anywhere.
Would you believe me if their fix was to attach a cable around the engine so that when it breaks free, it can't tip over?
Equivalent of just like saying, okay, duct tape.
No, because then
just wrapped everyone's engine with duct tape, and then they fall out.
That way, when it breaks, mm-hmm. customers will complain of a clunking in the engine bay, and then bring it to a shop, and then they'll be like, "I have this loud clunking." And
it's like a group of mice putting a bell on a cat.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're not solving the cat problem. You just hear it ringing every time one of your friends dies.
No, but
dies.
Like, how many times are you like, oh, I've got this Chevy, it's got 100,000 miles on it. Oh, it's just now making a clunking sound. Oh, I can still drive the car fine. I'm not going to take it in. So, like, the cable doesn't break.
When you say cable, explain what you mean by a cable.
It's like a steel cable or chain.
A steel cable or chain.
And they wrap it around the engine, and they attach it to the frame.
So the engine is normally bolted into this frame, and then it breaks, and then you have one steel string, basically.
Yeah.
Holding it there, and so the engine
not holding
just
it
like,
up, just holding it so it doesn't fall over.
When I used to work in theater, and I did a lot of theater work, we would hang lights.
Mm-hmm.
So lights would be suspended on these big pipes up above, and you would use these big C-clamps, and you would just screw them in.
Yeah.
Kind of like my my podcast mount here. Listeners, I know this is an audio format only, but, you know, imagine. Use your imagination. So we would screw these big lights in, and it was really just one clamp holding this 70 to 80 pound boiling hot light
mm-hmm.
up above. And as a safety measure, what we would do was take a steel cable,
yep.
and we would kind of like, we would loop one end around the light and one end around the big thing. So if the thing ever snapped, the light would just dangle there by this little steel cable.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing for the engines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is a Chevy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, has Toyota done anything like this?
No.
Cool. I'm going to buy exclusively Toyotas from now on.
Oh, no. It's... They fixed it.
They fixed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
By using the cable. That's what they mean by the $6.7 million cars recalled.
Yeah.
They installed a cable.
I just want you to know, Mikkel,
yeah.
that we can never, ever get a sponsorship with Ford or Chevy.
They don't sponsor us.
I don't worry,
I'm about to talk more crap about Chevy. That way I have two Fords and two Chevys.
I just love that we have really locked ourselves out of any Ford or Chevy money.
They don't care. They don't sponsor us. They don't sponsor us.
And they can't now.
Okay, so mm-hmm. now we're going to talk about... So we did engine mounts.
We did
Broncos. We did fire. Okay, so now we're going to do safety. Now it's going to be a safety concern.
Now it's safety.
Okay, so you know my Pontiac G5.
Yeah.
There's a parallel in Chevy,
mm-hmm.
which is called a Chevy Cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
From 2004 through 2007, there was a defect that with the key inserted and like you have it in the start position, while you're driving it, it could flick back, but the car would remain running, but it would disable all safety features of the vehicle. So no brakes, no ABS, no traction control, and no airbags.
So what you're saying is there's a kill switch. What you're saying is these cars... Okay, so James Bond contacted Chevy and said, I need a way to assassinate somebody and make it look like an accident.
Yeah.
But he accidentally ordered way too many, and they were just like, we can just sell these to people.
Mm-hmm. No, no, no.
Right? We can just sell this death car to people.
But it's a bad ignition switch.
He had an extra zero, an accident, like a typo, and it's just like, oh, I need 10 of these. And orders 10,000.
Orders 10,000 by accident, and they're like, oh, man. So the key, so you can put
the ignition switch.
So you put the key in, the ignition fires, right? Mm-hmm. And then while you're driving, it just clicks back. Like you go over a bump in the road, and then suddenly there's no brakes, nothing, right? So you can still accelerate.
Yeah,
but you can't.
You can accelerate. You can accelerate and brake normally, but like the ABS system, which is an independent system, won't work. The airbags won't work. Traction control won't work.
Maybe color me paranoid, but I'd love my airbags to always work.
Yeah.
Right? It is my opinion that if you smash into a parked car, the parked car's airbags should also go off. Because sometimes I sit in Walmart parking lots and eat sandwiches. You know, like, sometimes I eat my lunch in my car and it's not always on. Like, so are you telling me that, oh wait, in my car now, if my car's not on, will my airbags go off?
No, probably not. Like, if you're sitting in your car and someone just slams into you and your ignition, like, the keys in car's off?
Yeah?
No.
My airbags won't go off?
No, probably not.
I didn't know that. I thought...
I mean, they could, possibly.
I thought that I guess it makes sense that they're electric.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was like some sort of pressure sensor.
No, because you need your, yaw sensor. So in your car, there's a lot of sensors. One of them tells which direction is up for the car. And when it gets too out of whack, it goes, we're upside down. We need A-Bay.
We're upside down.
Or there's like a G sensor. There's a G sensor in it.
Yeah.
Which determines how fast you're accelerating. And if it's like, oh, you're making these normals. And then it spikes and it's like, huh, that's weird. Why are we accelerating so quickly? It's almost like we were hit.
And then bam! Airbags.
Fords used to do that a lot. They had a liquid based like force sensor.
Yeah.
So when you get hit in the back, it had this little ball, and the ball would contact and it would set off the airbags. But then, it would like turn your airbag lights. Mm-hmm. And as a joke, you could walk up to like a Ford Explorer and go, bam on the bumper, and it would set.
Just you go Fonzie a Ford and it just airbags. I missed that episode of Happy Days where he does the jukebox tricks to a Ford and just knocks three people out who are sitting in their car. Okay, God, so
you could be such a menace to people in that car.
Truly.
700,000 Chevy Cobalts were recalled to fix the ignition issue.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Glad. That's golly, I have never been more afraid of cars. Like, I don't know. I guess I just believe that.
I could tell you about the Toyota wiper blade switch that would short out and light them on fire.
Whoa.
Yeah, I do want to know about that.
Okay,
how do you set a wiper blade on fire?
No, the switch that controls them.
Yeah.
So you know how on your comm you have the little spinny thing?
Yeah.
So with that, if you spun it too many times, it would wear down, and then it would short, and so then it would catch on fire. It would get really hot, and it would set your steering wheel and everything on fire.
Can you imagine it's raining, and you're trying to, like, adjust your windshield wipers, and all of a sudden you're like, it's raining, but I feel pretty warm. Oh, no, my steering column's on fire.
Dude, like, how do you even, like, safely get off of the road in that situation?
Imagine a fire inside a car while it's raining.
It's awful. And cars just being on fire, remarkably, a bad idea.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I just, it's so awful to imagine that, like, the solution to your problem is so close and yet so far away.
I should have bought that moon. I should have bought that sunroof. Damn.
You just open your sunroof and it puts the fire out and you're like, thank God I bought a Chevy.
No, this is a Toyota.
Stop. No, I drive a Toyota. This is a Chevy. This is a Chevy we're talking about. Move on. Golly, that's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, okay, so wiper blades catch on fire. Well, your wiper steering stick mm-hmm. catches on fire. Broncos roll over at the drop of a hat. Certain Chevys, their engines will rip out and cause you to drive off cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Cobalt was a James Bond, like, assassination car.
Yep.
What else you got for me?
I had the Ford Pinto, which supposedly catches on fire when you hit it. Ford Pinto,
which was a bomb. Which was just a bomb. If you hit it the right way, it was a bomb. Fantastic. Anything else?
Do I have anything off the top of my head? Airbag recalls are a great and frequent thing.
Well, I'm
great as in, like, devastating.
Okay.
Oh, whoa.
Great as in devastating. Like, you know, when people say that was sick, they mean that was good. You say that was great, and you mean devastating.
Great as in widespread.
Oh, gosh. Well, airbags should
There's a lot of airbag recalls.
I gotta say, one of my biggest, like, fears is, like, sitting in my car, my airbag just goes off and breaks my nose. Well, I mean,
About that. So, 2001 Volvos.
2001 Volvos.
Yep. And they had a recall where if the airbag or, like, the vehicle got too hot, too cold, set in a too humid climate, or it was, like, a Thursday in March.
It would
unstabilize the airbag. So then it could potentially have the chance to randomly activate. Because it's a chemical reaction in the airbag. So it had a chance to spontaneously discharge.
Spontaneously discharge.
Yes. And then there was another recall on Dodge Ram. Both these vehicles my brother has owned, which is why I know about them. But another recall was done on Dodge Rams
mm-hmm.
Within a certain year. His was an 03.
Yeah.
Where there, within the driver and passenger airbags, there could be metal filings and shavings. So that...
when it goes, it's just a shrapnel grenade?
Yes. Oh, and also with the Volvo recall... the unstabilized airbag, you know how it's like controlled reaction where it's like bam, bam? That wouldn't happen. It would go split second, your nose would be in the stratosphere, and it would ruin your day.
Did that give anyone like brain damage?
Most people, when they see an airbag recall, and then they look down and they're like, it's right there. They get it done.
It'd be like a ceiling fan recall. You'd be like, I'm around those a lot. Golly. I will say, if you put your hand up into a ceiling fan, the ceiling fan will break before your hand will. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
They what are, if it they, falls on your head?
If it falls on your head,
wait, they're supposed to do that?
Hmm? What? We're talking...
We're way off track now. We're way off track here.
Hope you've had fun, listeners. thank you so much for listening. My name is Asher Brooks. This has been Horrible History with Asher Brooks. Thanks again to my special guest, Raffy Phillips, my special guest, Mikkel Phillips, and of course, to our ever-present and constant guest, me, Asher Brooks. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to learn more about the great... Whiskey Fire of Dublin, the 1875 Whiskey Fire. You can Google that and learn more about it. There's a little bit that I didn't talk about, but not very much. If you want to learn more about how cars can kill you...
Don't Google that.
Don't Google that because it'll...
Don't Google vehicle deaths a year. That is a bad number.
Okay, alright. So we're going to end this now before it gets any weirder. Please, if you liked this episode, you can listen to another. There'll be another one in the queue right behind this one. If you want to see me perform in person, you can come up to Door County. I work for Door County Trolley. You can see me live performing there, or you can see me at the monthly comedy specials I host at Door County Fire Company. You can also check out all my different socials. I am Asher Brooks on everything. I hope you all are having a great day, and if you drive a Ford Bronco, you know, don't turn it too quickly because it'll roll and you'll die. Have a great day, and goodbye.